KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
The police!
When Ham, the astroturf, said, no more space flights. Who did great minds at NASA turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, he's the poster child for no cloning, Paul LaVoy.
That's right. Welcome to Speak Out. It is Tuesday, April 21st, 2026, and we got a special show for you today. Kind of a two-parter, if you will. We're going to be talking medicine in the first half, and we're going to be talking medians in the second half. I don't know how I put all that together, Doctor, but we've got Dr. David Jenkins on the phone. He's a general surgeon for Western Arizona Surgical Specialist, part of the team at Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Welcome to the show, Doctor. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
Excellent. Tell me your background a little bit. It says you're board certified, and you perform both laparoscopic and open procedures. Kind of explain that to our audience a little bit.
Yeah, so, laparoscopic, and you'll have to forgive my froggy voice. I've been nursing on the back end of a cold right now. But, laparoscopic surgery is minimally invasive. Why have a big open incision for a simple routine procedure when you can, have smaller incisions, means shorter healing time, means better patient outcomes. So that's the only difference. Most surgeons are trained in both open or traditional and minimally invasive approaches. You have to have both in your toolbox, really, to treat the patients that you see as a general surgeon.
Yeah, it says here that's your commitment, is improving patient outcomes and recovery times. Is that something that you made a commitment to when you were in medical school, or is that just something that's recent in the industry?
No, absolutely. I think that's always been, the goal. Doctors want their patients to get better, believe it or not. And, the faster that my patients, heal up from their surgeries and, move on with their lives, the better I feel, and, the better we all look as a medical profession. So, that's absolutely been a huge goal that we strive for in surgery.
So the crux of the conversation today is that delaying care often leads to more complex procedures and emergency situations, higher out-of-pocket costs financially and physically. Walk us through how a routine case can turn into something more complex if the care is delayed by the patient.
Yeah, absolutely. So we saw this quite a bit following COVID, when a lot of these patients who, were told that they couldn't get a lot of these surgical problems fixed, surgical problems such as hernias, gallbladders, things like that, something we consider pretty routine. It's outpatient procedures where you come in, you get operated on, you go home the same day, and it's not in an emergent setting. There's no actual emergency. It's like you've had this hernia for a long time, and you go in to see your surgeon, you schedule a day to get it fixed, you go get it fixed, move on with your life type of thing. What we saw with COVID and the restrictions is that there are all these patients that had these surgical problems that weren't life-threatening or weren't emergent. They were holding on to them, for years and years and years. And And realistically, you know, something like a hernia or something like, you know, gallstones or, you know, chronic inflammation of the gallbladder, that usually doesn't get better by itself left untreated. In fact, it usually gets worse, and as it gets worse, it makes for a much larger, more complex, often more difficult procedure to repair that or to, you know, fix that. So that's what we mean by that. You know, there's lots of reasons why people put off getting a procedure done. You know, see it a lot with, you know, screening colonoscopies, you know, for screening for colon cancer. We see that a lot. But, you know, there's lots of reasons, and, you know, some are just, you know, they're good reasons. You know, some people don't have insurance. Some people, you know, are, you know, can't afford to pay out of pocket for, you know, this big procedure without, you know, being insured. So there's lots of good reasons. I think that it's just, I think it's important to not put off till tomorrow what you can get done today when it comes to, you know, your health, especially when it comes to these surgical procedures, because it really does make a difference.
Oh, sure. So how often do you see those types of patients that come in at a stage where surgery becomes more urgent or complicated than it needed to be? Do you have an example?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think pretty much every time that I cover surgical problems that come into the ER there at WRMC, I'd say that every time I'm on call there's a patient that, hey, you know, knew they had gallstones. You know, every once in a while the gallstones bothered them, but you know what, this time, you know, the pain's just not going away. And sure enough, they come in and they have, you know, an acute gallbladder infection that requires emergent surgery, you know, to get it out, so that they don't get real, real sick and get septic. So, you know, that would be one example. Hernias are a great example because I've seen, you know, these tough, and it's typically older gentlemen, you know, guys who have lived through, you know, a war or two, who have these, you know, huge hernias. And, you know what? They just dealt with it for years and years. Sure, it's gotten bigger over time, but you know what? I've gotten this far without anyone fixing it, and I don't want to, you know, anyone fixing it now type of thing until it becomes emergent. You know, hernias have a way of, you know, causing other problems, you know, damage and injury to organs inside the abdomen, and can turn into a very serious problem. So we do have, you know, quite a few cases of that happening, especially here, you know, where we do have a little older retired population, and, you know, some of them don't like doctors and don't really care what you have to say or think.
You just described my father when he was alive. how does delaying care increase the likelihood of ending up in the emergency room or even needing urgent surgery? I know you kind of touched on that just now, but what are those complications that you're talking about, say, from a hernia?
Yes. So any time that you do an emergent procedure that a surgeon has to emergently, you know, operate on you to, you know, to save your life, you're always put at a slightly higher risk of complication during surgery. And that's because, in the emergent setting, you know, all the, you know, the tissues that we have to dissect and, you know, the surgical planes that we have to, you know, cut and the anatomical structures that we have to identify and then hopefully repair, those are all usually acutely inflamed or swollen, and it makes it very difficult for the surgeon to, it just adds another layer of difficulty to an already complex situation. Also, when you're doing an emergent, you know, case, an emergent surgery, you don't know that the patient is in the best physical tip-top shape either. You know, they may have, you know, chronic heart disease or blood pressure issues and you put their body through all of this, mm-hmm. and it can turn into them having, a cardiac event or a heart attack, just because they didn't have that reserve to be able to handle something like this. So anything that's emergent, anything where we're taking you to the operating room to fix something, and it's life and death, it needs to be done right then and there. It always just ups that difficulty factor a little bit.
Very interesting. If you just joined us, we're talking with Dr. David Jenkins. He's a general surgeon with Western Arizona Surgical Specialist, and that's part of the campus of Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. And you can text in, by the way. Give us a text at 928-727-5566, 928-727-5566. Text us your question while we have the doctor on the phone. Bob Barrett, a Havasu resident, is coming in at the bottom of the hour. And as I kind of alluded to earlier, we're going to be talking about medians. So, yeah, get those phone fingers ready to dial. Oh, man, if there's one thing they hate, maybe as much as roundabouts here, it's medians, doctor. So just letting you know. How can delaying care affect out-of-pocket costs? Is that something that goes hand in hand?
Yeah, absolutely. I said earlier, routine surgery or elective surgery that isn't, emergent, life or death, it's more planned, more scheduled, that is often what we call outpatient. So you come in the day you're scheduled for surgery, put you to sleep, operate on you, you wake up, you go home that same day, you do all your recovery at home. You're sent home with some pain meds maybe and told to follow up in the office in a week and making sure you're doing okay. That is much cheaper and more efficient for the patient, than having this surgical emergency, having to go through the ER, which is, a very expensive place to get your medical care.
Oh yeah.
To get admitted to the hospital, undergo surgery, and then recover in the hospital, right? So, really should and is reserved for people who are very sick and need, that round-the-clock type care. But it's expensive. It takes a whole hospital to save someone's life when they're really, really sick. And so, your out-of-pocket expenses are going to be much higher than, coming in, getting something fixed as an outpatient.
That's really interesting. I've never heard it put that way before. It takes the whole hospital when you're really, really sick. Most of the time, I always think of these departments kind of competing against each other, like cardiac against, internal medicine against, That's kind of how I look at it. But I guess I'm a sports guy at heart. But but no, it's a whole team effort by the building, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the sicker the patient, typically the more specialists and the more people are involved in chiming in and working together to get them better. So
beyond procedure itself, what other costs might patients face when care is delayed and, the physical and the lifestyle impact?
Yeah, there are some things that, because if there is an acute emergent surgical problem, let's say that your chronic surgical problem just turned acute and emergent and life-threatening. Let's say, I don't know if you've ever heard of diverticulitis.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so for people who don't know, it's this issue that derives from little out pouches from the colon, which is the large intestine. Mm-hmm. Most people have them by the middle of your lifespan, but sometimes they get infected and can cause inflammation of the colon, which if not treated, if not properly diagnosed and treated, can turn into a perforated intestine, a perforated colon. And that's an absolute surgical emergency. Now, if we have to take you to the operating room because the colon itself is inflamed there's no way we can cut out or repair that hole and then, you know, hook you back up. So we have to create a colostomy, which means that I apologize if anyone's eating lunch, but
it's all rerouted, basically, right?
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's rerouted to the outside of your body, and you essentially you poop in the bag.
Yeah, right.
And that's just because it's impossible to do the hookup when it's, you know, acutely inflamed in the abdomen. So, you know, that's one example of how, you know, letting a small problem, you know, get real big can really force, you know, your surgeon's hand in the operating room.
So the reason I said, of course, not that everybody would know what diverticulitis is, but if you've ever been diagnosed with diverticulosis, then that can lead to diverticulitis.
Correct. Yes.
You know, if the doctor tells you you have diverticulosis, what are the chances that you'll get diverticulitis, even if you watch your diet?
You know, I actually have to look up the exact fraction or percentage of patients that convert from known diverticulosis to acute diverticulitis. It's a very small number. It's not like the majority of people with diverticulosis get, you know, this acute infection. However, you know, people who are susceptible to getting acute diverticulitis, you know, there is a good percentage of those patients that tend to have it happen again and again. And, you know, if that's an ongoing problem or recurring problem, then it's probably time to talk to a surgeon about, you know, surgically removing that problematic section of your colon electively, you know, when it's not emergent, so that we can hook you back up right then and there and you could forego a colostomy bag.
I think that actually happened with President Reagan, if I remember right. But anyway, I digress. We are talking, of course, with Dr. David Jenkins. He's a general surgeon for Western Arizona Surgical Specialties, or Specialists, and that is part of the campus at Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Doctor, I'm going to have you hold on, and we'll take a short break, and then come back. And I want to find out, at what point do you help patients feel more comfortable about taking that first step? I imagine that's a little psychological issue for you, too, right? You get to play psychologist. Kind of get into their head.
Absolutely.
And look, you got to do this at one point or another. It's, you know, either you do it or you don't. So, all right?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll talk about that technique. Stay with us. We'll come back on Speak Out. Again, give us a text or send us a text, 928-727-5566. And our second guest is already here, Mr. Bob Barrett. Welcome, sir. All right. We'll get you on headset, and that way you'll be able to say hi on the air. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
Tell me what you see. I hear their cries. Just say if it's too late for me.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I feel so
alright, we're back on Speak Out. Definitely, definitely, definitely one of my favorite songs in the past to play. Weathered by Creed. Come to find out, Dr. Jenkins is a Creed fan. Well, 90s alternative. You're alright by me, you know that?
Yeah, I'm glad.
Perfect, perfect. Alright, broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. You can find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also, Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys, by Mojave Electric Cooperative, also by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and by A&B Propane. Go to abpropaneaz.com. And we're back with Dr. Jenkins, David Jenkins, and he's a general surgeon at Western Arizona Surgical Specialists. And as I said before the break, there are those patients that you have to kind of take them through that first step. You have to get into their head and say, hey, you know, this really needs to be done. I know you don't like the idea of surgery or the idea of this or that procedure, but we really have to do this. How do you get that patient, that certain patient, to take that step?
Yeah, so, I mean, first and foremost, in surgery, maybe even more than other specialties, you have got to, there has to be some mutual trust between, myself and my patient, right? We have to be able to understand each other. We have to feel comfortable working together on the same team, so to speak, to fix this problem. Because, realistically, I'm asking people to, put their lives in my hand, so that's a sure. big ask, right? Especially someone you've just met, right? And, it's something that I work on to just talk with people and say, hey, this is kind of what I'm all about. This is the problem that you have. This is what I can offer. And we go from there, I think a lot of times, and for whatever reason, there are a big subset of people that just, have had really bad experiences with physicians. And so, sometimes you're working, from behind, so to speak. But, I really feel like the best outcomes, best patient outcomes are because, I'm able to just put everything out there mm-hmm. in a way that's understandable for my patient and really have them be part of the decision-making process as to how this gets fixed, when it gets fixed, and what the risks and benefits of each, decision is. So, it seems like it should be pretty straightforward, and it is for real simple surgical problems, like, just a hernia is pretty straightforward, right? Hey, you have a hernia. Yeah, I have a hernia. I can fix that. Okay, great. When? Pretty much is that, is the extent of that, a lot of those conversations. But, when it comes to patients that, just learn that they have colon cancer or breast cancer or, something else, it takes a lot more. And just to be cognizant of that and, it can be a very, very challenging time to try and earn someone's trust, enough to be able to help them out. So
it's one of those things, if I can summarize, one of those things that maybe woke you up in the middle of the night with a pretty good size pain level of 8, 9, or 10, and it just went away. You didn't do anything about it, and then maybe it comes back, a couple other times, but you still haven't seen a doctor about it. You're telling people that's probably something you should have checked out.
Absolutely, and I'm not saying you have to rush out to, go bang down the door of your primary care doctor, but hey, if you have a wellness check, coming up here, just go in, make sure you mention it to them, and, they can start the ball rolling by ordering the appropriate diagnostic tests, right?
Right.
So ideally, by the time you even get to me, you already have an idea of what is going on.
I got you. Dr. David Jenkins, thank you for joining us today on Speak Out. We really appreciate it. Where did you go to school, by the way?
So I went to a medical school in a small DO college in western Pennsylvania called LECOM.
Ah.
And then I did my training in Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
Sorry, my voice is giving out, but yeah. So mostly Midwest, and then I came back. I grew up in western Washington State, so, I'm very familiar with this area. My mom lives in Havasu, I've known this area before I moved here to start at WarmC.
Right.
So I love it here.
DO being Doctor of Osteopathy, right?
Correct.
Ha, got that right. All right. Well, thanks for being on the show. And again,
thanks
to Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. If you're concerned about a condition that may require surgery, speak with your primary care doctor or visit warmcdocs.com to find a doctor or a specialist near you. And again, we really appreciate you being on the show today. And I don't know what to say. Best of luck or Happy surgeries.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
Happy
thank
outcomes. How's that?
I like that.
All right, yeah. we're going to go out with some Linkin Park. Of course, In the End, one of their biggest hits. And Dr. Jenkins, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, you bet. All right, coming up next, going to be a interesting segment. Bob Barrett's coming on. We're going to be talking about medians, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, the city, all kinds of. It's all kind of interwoven. Oh, there he is. Hold on. Go ahead.
And John F. Kennedy. I want to add in John F. Kennedy.
Which part?
We'll get there.
PT 109 or the assassination?
Neither one, actually. Right. Neither one.
Nice to meet you, by the way.
Thank
Back
you.
With more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. The phone number, 928-854-5687. If you want to call in, 928-854-5687. Or send us a text, 928-727-5566. We'll be back with more on Speak Out in a moment. Stay with us. Everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to me will eventually be a memory of a time when I tried so hard and got so far. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. I had to. You can go your own way. Little Fleetwood Mac by request. Good choice, Bob.
Oh, thank you very much.
Appreciate
love,
it.
Love Fleetwood Mac.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, also by Springberg Wealth Management, by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooters Outpost, Solar Power by SMA Electric, also by Doritas Place, and by Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City. And don't forget to buy local, or it's buy local. Got a lot of questions about the archives, by the way. They're at kntrtalk.com. You can go to the Speak Out tab and be posted at about 12:15 this show, Will. And all the shows before it, you'll see quite the list. And then Common Ground as well, you heard this morning. Marissa was on the board. She likes to play with the little knobs on here, by the way. So do I. Sometimes things are a little out of adjustment. You don't just play with the knobs, though. You kind of... do the deep dive into the board, don't you?
I am an analyst by nature, yep, I am.
Is that what you do?
I used to. My wife says I'm retired, but I think she says that so I can do more things around the house.
Folks, if you send Bob an email, a simple email, you'll get back a four-page response.
Yes,
but we're going to talk about the medians, how they got here, and it's quite the story. A lot of people say they didn't know the medians were coming. ADOT just decided to put them here.
Yeah.
Then now I'm finding out the Metropolitan Planning Organization was part of this. Take me through this, like the five-minute explanation, if that's possible, Bob.
I think I can do it in 5 minutes. So first of all, the medians were put in on 95 because 95 has historically been a very dangerous road. And there are various studies that prove that. One is by the Metropolitan Planning Organization. That it's a 2025 traffic strategic transportation safety plan. Obviously, this happened after the medians were installed, but it proves that. So from 2018 to 2022, kind of the time where they were looking at medians,
mm-hmm.
26 fatalities in the Lake Havasu area. Not on 95,
okay.
In total, including 95. And there were five in particular that happened on the north end of 95.
The five in particular, let me stop you for a second.
Yeah.
The five in particular were the ADOT focus, though, right? The other ones, were they city?
Well,
what was the jurisdiction?
I wouldn't call them ADOT focused. I would say, actually, the medians initiated from the Lake Havasu Metropolitan Planning Organization. The executive, or the director, looked at the one of them that was really horrific. I mean, all of these, I researched all of them. And talk about a terrible day. When you have to look into why people died on a road.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And they're accidents. They shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But there are five of them, and a family, a mom, a child. People were running over the median, the current median, and hitting other people. Various reasons for that. Only two that I could tell were road-related.
But there were culverts in between, right?
Well, it's there's a culvert in the north part.
Uh-huh.
In the other part, there was a good, I don't know, I haven't measured it.
Section of gravel.
Section of road.
Oh.
probably 10 feet or more, mm-hmm. that people actually traversed to get over to the other lane to have a head-on collision with someone who, unfortunately, you know, it always happens. The victim is always the innocent, not the person who did it.
Yeah, hold that thought. We have a phone call, but I want to get into what originated, what caused the accidents or crashes. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, I appreciate you getting into the cause. I know there were some DUIs. But the fact is, people are still hitting that thing every night. When you guys go to sleep and ADOT and those people are hitting that median every night.
Mm-hmm. But well, for sure. Fix. But in the past, there was no concrete there. It was just something you kind of strayed off the road and then lost control and then, you know, whatever happened,
correct.
Right?
Well, the caller is jumping to what's happening now, and I totally agree with you. I'm not.
Well,
I haven't quite got there. There's a reason, a good reason they were.
Hang on, Bob. Let's hear the caller out. Go ahead, caller.
We have an older population here, so it would make sense. And I just wonder why the mayor hasn't came out with all the people that have hit that thing, all the people that have gone on top of it. And everything. I just want them to come up with a decent solution so when everybody goes to bed, people still aren't hitting it. And I'll tell you one thing, in the rain, it's almost impossible to see. And at night, the little moving little tiny reflectors, they're knocked off all the time, mm-hmm. and you can't barely see them at night.
Agreed.
So with an older crowd, they need to start doing that. I don't know why the mayor hasn't acted in, you know, he represents the people here, and I know it's the state who does the median, but... You know, at this point, people want a solution. I'll listen.
Okay,
I'm off.
Thank you. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead with that last part. Okay, I don't think I didn't hear what he said.
I don't disagree with anything he said.
I said jokingly that it's to get people to move over to the right.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a big problem too.
Well, the medians were poorly added because it was a improper solution to a very serious problem.
What would be the proper solution?
Well, the K-rail would be the perfect solution.
Boom. I agree.
Because that actually prevents people from going over the middle median.
Well, that it's easier to see something that is door height than it is, you know, tire height.
Right.
If that, the bottom of your tire.
So after the fact, the local city, the representative of the city, went to ADOT and said, well, why'd you do this median? Well, they should have already known because they're on the Metropolitan Planning Organization. They've been talking about it for 4 years, but we'll leave that for a second. Mm-hmm. So they gave them a long, drawn-out answer that didn't even apply to this situation. Medians are put in so that you eliminate the coexisting left-hand turn lanes, the middle lane, so that people don't turn left. Mm-hmm. That's the main reason. The odd thing here on 95 is... They didn't even put medians in the section where you actually have left-hand turn lanes out by the dealerships, out by the RV parks,
right,
out by the...
Right.
That was left alone. The areas where they put in medians were areas where there aren't any left-hand turn lanes. So the application was poor to a very serious
we're
problem.
We're talking just south of, what am I thinking, Chenoweth?
We're talking south of Chenoweth, a little bit north of Chenoweth. We have the actual ditches where they put in a one-foot median, which of all the medians they put in, that one makes no sense at all.
What would be cheaper, median or K-rail?
Apparently, K-rail is more expensive because you actually have to support the ground underneath it, and apparently the ground underneath it wasn't conducive to a K-rail, but that's not the point. The point is safety. Safety is the issue.
I thought all you had to do was drive in rebar and then lay the K-rail on the... On the rebar, like a you know,
well,
like a peg,
right? That's only what I've been told.
I don't know. I'm not a road engineer, so
yeah. So I mean,
let's take a phone call. Okay. All right, we got another phone call. Sorry about that, caller. You're live on Speak Out.
People just need to learn how to drive. Stop hitting damn curbs. Did they hit the curbs going up North Palo Verde or South Palo Verde at night?
Right.
Stay off the damn curbs. Learn how to drive.
Well, that's one solution for sure.
So regarding that, that's ironic because there are 5 fatalities and 6 people died because of 5 people not being able to not only control themselves to go over 3 inches and hit a curb, but actually they went over 10 feet and hit people coming the other side. So it's ironic that people would say that is a solution when the problem happened because they weren't able to. It's like I put in my letter to the editor last week, me and another guy, I replied to him. I said, I've never hit the curb. 200 times I've ridden on that in the last 5 months. I haven't hit it, but you know what? There are people that can't move their index finger 2 inches to engage their right-hand blinker. so that other people know they're making a right-hand turn. Those are the people, that, of the 10,000 people on that highway, there's 10,000 people going each direction every day. Some of those people will probably veer out maybe 5 inches. And sometimes there's a car on your right and you're on the left, and they move over because they're distracted, so you have no place to go.
Are there studies, and I imagine you've seen the studies, on medians and their prevention of head-ons or any type of crash?
Sure. Well, they never should be used at speed.
Speed over a certain amount?
I don't want to go into this because I'm not suggesting they reduce
well, they
the speed
did,
to 45.
They already did.
Well, did they already?
Yes.
So you should never use them speed of 45 or higher than 45.
North of Staples, where it transitioned to 55, has already gone down to 45.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably why they did it, because of the liability of it.
Gotcha.
You should never have them at 55. Like that, anyway. I mean, obviously, K-Roads, they're on interstate highways all the time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this issue.
Okay, when these first were put in, the lanes were super thin. A lot of people noticed that. Even ADOT admitted that. Has it been rectified?
The thin lanes? No,
I mean, I know they've been widened, but has it been rectified to everybody's satisfaction?
Oh, no, definitely not. I mean,
taking them out would be everybody's satisfaction,
well,
right?
Exactly. I mean, no.
I'm just saying. We have another call, believe it or not.
Oh, all
right? Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, it's River Dave. I'm up here at Beatles filming some stuff right now, but I had a quick question. Instead of K-Rail, which is ugly, we already have enough ugly things in our town, why couldn't we just add earth to the original culverts and then cover them with gravel so it actually looks nice when you come into town? The earth would be the barrier that would prevent people from going across the lanes. It just seems kind of like common sense.
Well, that's a great idea. What I would do, what I would say to that question, and I, sorry, Paul, I need to get into a more detailed answer. Because
can I get you to listen off the air, Dave?
Sure, but before I go, I would like to point out that these medians, the two problems with them, someone else brought up the elderly community. If you have an elderly guy hit one of these medians with a Class A motorhome and a steer tire, it's going to shoot him right into oncoming traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is now that they've taken a situation and created a danger situation, the final thought is to lower the speed limit to 45? That's crazy.
Okay.
Agreed.
All right. I'll listen off here.
Okay.
So regarding that, there are a lot of ideas that people smarter than me should have thought about prior to now.
Uh-huh.
So you have to ask yourself the question, why didn't that happen? The medians were initiated by the MPO locally. That's proven. I've researched it, studied it. There are local news articles that say that. 2019 fatality, MPO director said, we got to get the medians. Prior to that, they went back and forth, the MPO, should we or shouldn't we? And they changed their decision many times. So it came, the MPO wanted a median. That's never a good situation where you look at a problem and you all of a sudden say, I have the solution. So you had 4 years of an MPO, to those that don't know, Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Right.
It was actually created in 1962 under the Kennedy administration. And they are involved. The whole reason for them existing is so that road projects can be coordinated between state, local, county officials. And so in that planning process, you have to ask the question, as River Dave just asked, what are the alternatives? Not once in my research did I ever find anyone talking about what the alternatives would be to a median over a yellow line.
So they just went tunnel vision, median.
Tunnel vision,
we're going median, median, median.
And that
interesting.
Is, and if I could break down this whole issue into one word, I've used the word apathy. Because you need people that like detail. You need people that think details are important.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go from problem, solution, and then implement a solution when that solution might not actually fix the problem. And too many times that happens. We all know that, right? We're probably all shaking our head like, yeah, that's certainly true, especially in government.
To me, the proper way would have been a few, community input. You have what do you call those?
Surveys?
A forum or whatever.
Roundabout? Right? Roundabout?
No. Like a question and answer with ADOT officials or even the MPO or city officials or all three.
Yeah. You could do that. Problem is
public
a lot of people,
input.
A lot of times people don't show up. But for those that are interested, they would show up. They would give ideas. Those are
even
experts,
when you
though.
Do show up, as you know, in the Unisource cases,
yes.
doesn't help.
Well, when we showed up there, the commissioners weren't even in the room. They didn't even hear our argument because they didn't bother to actually attend.
We're talking about the rate case last year.
That's a different story.
We digress, right?
Different story.
Right,
yep,
right, right.
For a different time.
So where do we go from here?
Good question. Well, unfortunately, government acts when there is a crisis. There was a crisis. They acted, but not well, because some medians got rounded. One got narrowed. I hate to say it. Something bad will have to happen for those in charge to say, this has to be fixed today.
Mm-hmm.
Until that happens, I don't think much of anything will be improved. They have no money. The budget ran out. I think they had another problem here is that they were apparently going to have lights. Lights were part of the budget. They never put in the lights. That's apparently one of the reasons why they had extra budget to round off the medians. There's a lot going on here.
You follow the situation along Highway 95 even up to Bullhead? Have you?
I have, yeah.
Because the south end, where Cocktails is, just south of Target and that, they're removing medians.
Yeah, yep, for good reason. It's not the proper solution to the important problem of deaths. We have too many people dying, and
they cut business access in that case.
Yeah, well, that's what happens a lot. That's why people don't like medians, because in businesses, mm-hmm. who knows why they didn't put in the medians out there. But
how long have you been here?
Been here about 5 years.
Oh, okay. Because we had a situation years ago. I would say 06, 2005, 2006, where they were talking about putting medians on Main Street.
Well, to that point, and why is this important? This is not important to point fingers at people.
Okay.
It's important to make sure the next project gets done correctly. There are four more medians on the docket.
Right.
I wouldn't say they're funded yet, but they are part of the Lake Havasu Metropolitan Planning Organization traffic safety plan.
We've got another call, and the show is dedicated to the listener, so we're going to take that call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, this is Gianna Kraft from Havasu. Couple comments that I'd like to make just to back up with Bob and what he's saying, and I think some of the points. I watched all the MPO videos that were posted, and every time ADOT showed up at these meetings to talk about the medians or all the projects, they would always ask, are there any questions? Would you like any information on these medians to the people on the MPO? And they would always... No one would ask any questions whatsoever.
I'm going to jump in here for a second. I don't think people know what to ask, Bob.
Well, they should.
When I'm talking about people, this is Cal, this is Jenny, this is whoever else is on that board is who I'm referring to.
I see. I thought you meant the public. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
People don't really know what they're in for.
No, the people on that Lake Havasu Metropolitan Planning Organization should, if not be an expert, should want to engage experts to ask questions that are appropriate for the project so that you do it right.
Absolutely.
Right, right.
My other point, or just something I'd like to ask, is Bullhead has some similar medians that were put in by ADOT. Mm-hmm. What's the current situation on those, and what are they doing about those medians? And that's kind of a leading question, but if anybody has any input or info, I'd love to hear it.
Right. We were just talking about that, and I know the south end that's south of Target, they were talking about removing
removing them.
Yeah, it was a public safety issue right in that area where it goes uphill. We called it, back in the day, we called it the Mesa, where Fort Mojave, it goes into Fort Mojave.
Right.
Yeah, so.
So I know that they're talking about removing those because they had some same issues. And then just a couple things that I have on my thing here is obviously a lot. I don't think that the public of Havasu has realized that we've dropped that speed limit now to 45 out there.
You mentioned that,
With some in that 55, we've dropped that speed limit. The second thing is, I actually have been in traffic and watched one of our own police officers bounce off those medians.
Wow.
I was right behind them.
Wow.
Number three, I've actually had a really scary experience myself at North Palo Verde. I was coming south on the highway from the Walmart area. I wanted to make a left-hand turn at Palo Verde. Unfortunately, a truck with a trailer pulled into the turn lane at Palo Verde and left me hanging out in traffic with a car coming at me 65 miles an hour, didn't realize we were literally stopped and hung out, and I literally took pictures thinking I was going to get rear-ended at that moment, and I've actually seen it happen multiple times.
Okay.
At North
Ma'am,
California,
I have to cut you off, or I'm not going to get my last break in, and we got to go into Sean Hannity.
You got it.
I
just
really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Oh, you bet. And just to complicate things in Bullhead, the city of Bullhead City has taken over Highway 95 from ADOT.
Well, it might not be a bad idea here.
I've mentioned it, and boy, do I get some glares.
Well,
woo, yeah,
we need someone in charge.
Right.
And right now we have ADOT and we have the MPO, and it doesn't seem like we're communicating as needed based on the federal laws related to federal funding for that road or any road.
Well, Bob, we obviously need an hour.
We do.
I'm gonna have you come back.
Love it.
I got to do some talking to some people around the station, figure out the strategy here, what we're going to do.
Yeah.
But Bob Barrett, my guest, and I would call him a median expert. what would you call it, a medianologist?
Sure, I like that.
The
science
of medians.
I need to get a t-shirt.
All right, again, we're going to close out the show with the last break and go into news, and then, of course, Sean Hannity Show. Thanks for listening on Speak Out. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.